but I'm going to let you hear from the teens now to see what God has spun in their lives this week, and it's really exciting. Who would like to come first?
Okay. Well, first of all, any time that there's like a corporate youth conference, like a Choir of the Fire or Falls Creek or any church conference for that matter, like that our church goes to, it seems like you always hear about these phenomenal spiritual changes that occurs. So why do you think that happens? Well, it's because people go there expecting to meet with God. They have these plans that they're going to meet with God. He's going to show them, reveal them things. But why can't we get that same feeling on Sundays and Wednesdays? You just have to have the same mindset and just expect to meet with God every morning, going to church. Just want to say that. Anyway, God really showed me a verse this week that really spoke to me personally, which is Acts 1:8. It says, "For the Spirit, you will receive power when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you. You will be my witnesses throughout all Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And I have never really had the opportunity to witness anyone before. I've never actually been able to like help lead someone to Christ. Like I've just, you know, I've always been afraid, or I didn't know exactly what to do. Well, we went to Choir of the Fire in about March this year, and it was really telling us to go out and do that, and so it kind of got me going, and I prayed to God. I was like, God, I ask that you help me to help you win 7 people to Christ this year, so that next year when I come to Choir of the Fire, I can kind of see where I've grown and just kind of see where I'm at and that kind of thing. Well, this week, I had an opportunity to be able to witness to some people, no one knew it. Like, there's this thing called the decision team, and it was where it took some of the kids, the leaders of the kids that were down there, they could go down and counsel with the kids who came down for the altar call, but no one knew about it. Like I got down there on Monday, and they asked me if I wanted to do it. I was like, yeah, that's awesome. I'd love to. And so I didn't have like time to prepare anything, and it's cool how, you know, I asked God to do that, and God's like, okay, well, here you go, and like just throws you into it. You know, it's like you got to work with it. You can't make plans. You can't have it your way. You got to do it my way. And I prayed the prayer in March to help win 7 people in a year, and this week I was able to help 6 people make decisions. But not only did I learn how to share and how to help people and talk to them, but I learned how easy it was. That doesn't have to be formal, and you don't have to, you know, have a book about it. I don't know. You just got to speak from your heart and just tell them how it is. Just tell them what they need to know. And it was a very humbling experience because they don't know. Like us as church kids or who have been in church all their lives, we know a lot about the Bible and stuff, and we assume everyone else knows that. And but they don't. And like I was able to speak with a girl and help lead her to Christ. And I asked her if she would like to pray after we did that, you know, thanking God for all that he's done for her and that kind of stuff. And she told me, she was like, I don't know how to pray. And so, you know, you don't know that people don't know. You know, they need to know. And so that, like, we have the Great Commission, which is go and tell these people. I mean, they don't know. I mean, why not? So that was kind of like my thing this week, and it was an extreme blessing to me, just how awesome God is, because like just to be able to speak with people and help counsel them, because God's really been putting it on my heart that kind of gave me a passion for that, to kind of like I to talk to people and let them know. And but just in our cabin alone, there was 32 decisions made this week, and so that was pretty awesome. And like, it was just such a blessing to me just to see God work in all these different ways. You know, you definitely see him work in the big ways, like, of course, when you see the big altar calls and stuff, but I mean, just the little things like that you don't realize, but just God shows you, I'm good, you know, just kind of remind you, but the last night, it was just such a blessing to me. It brought so many, it was awesome, because you go down to the altar call at the bottom of this amphitheater. You go towards the bottom, and the decision team goes down there and helps them, and they kind of talk to them, and then they lead them out to a tent outside the amphitheater to talk to them some more and help them learn about this decision that they're about to make and if they have any questions and that kind of thing. Well, the very last night, we couldn't fit through the door. It took about 5 minutes for us all to shuffle out because it was just so packed. So many kids had come down to make decisions that we had to huddle out like cattle just to go out through the door to go to the tent to make decisions. And so it was really awesome. And so it brought extreme joy into my heart to be able to do God's will and to see it at work. And I heard this phrase that just kind of just sums it all up for me. And it was it said that God is the one at work. I am just the one enjoying the fulfillment of living out something bigger than myself. And so we are all called to do that, no matter how old you are. It kind of just shows that teenagers can have an effect, and they can make an impact, especially on their peers, because they're willing. You don't think they're willing. You think, oh, they'll make fun of me. Oh, they'll say, you're such a goody-goody, or that kind of thing. No, they want to know, and they don't know, so it's our job to go tell them. So that was my week.
That is probably one of the, to me, there's different things for different people, but to me, probably one of the greatest joys in life is, other than seeing your children born and becoming married and so forth, but other than that, the greatest joy in life is to lead someone to Christ. How many in here has ever led someone to Christ before? Raise your hand. Okay. And you know the joy I'm talking about is when you truly see that. 2 years ago, when I first went to Falls Creek with our teens, I was able to do the decision counseling, and then they switched over to the teens. The adults were, but now the teens were, which is so much better, because they, once they see that how cool it is to lead someone to Christ, it is so neat. So neat. It just fuels your fire. Because, you know, like Haley said, you don't need to know a whole outline and study it like a thesis on what to present to someone for Christ. You know, I heard someone once say, witnessing is just simply taking a good look at Jesus and telling others what you saw. That's all it is. And that's all people want to know. Someone else. Austin.
Right up there. Okay. Okay, well, last year I got rededicated, and when I went this year, I saw how much God has changed my life and how He can do so much things in just 1 year, and I thought that was really amazing how He did that. And I also learned that I already knew that you had to forgive for people for the mistakes that they make, but when I went down there, I realized that no matter how much they hurt you or how big the problem is, you have to forgive them for anything they do. And I also learned that, kind of what Haley did, you have to lead as many people as you can to Christ before it's too late, because He's coming soon, as He says in Revelation. And so I'm trying to get one of my friends to, she doesn't know anything about Christ, and I talked to her for a while, and I think she's making a decision, but I'm going to talk to her more tonight. And so I'm really proud of her, because she doesn't know anything, so I'm really happy for her. And so that's about it.
Someone else? Ashley.
Oops. All right, I'm not very good at this, but I'm gonna go. Okay. Falls Creek was so amazing. It was just so cool, and like, I really had to go down there, because last year I was going down there thinking, you know, I was looking more at the social aspect of it and like being with my friends and meeting new people, maybe meeting a boy, I don't know. I was just like so focused on that I learned and I grew last year, but this year I was going I was going in and I was looking more as the spiritual aspect of it. And it was just so amazing to feel like overwhelmed with love for God and just wanting to share with others and praise Him always. It was just so awesome and so cool. And while I was down there, I learned like the power of fellowship and how amazing it can and how it can affect you, and seeing others and just knowing that you can have that effect and you can affect people, you can lead them, you can show them what God has shown you. It may be the smallest thing, but to them it could be the greatest. And I learned this cool, I think I've heard it before, but I wasn't real familiar with it, and I was going to share it with you. It's Ezekiel 3:17-21. Alright. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. So hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to a wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not warn him or speak out to dissuade him from his evil ways in order to save his life, that wicked man will die for his sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood. But if you do not warn the wicked man, and he does not turn the wickedness or from his evil ways, he will die for his sin, but you will have saved yourself. And I was thinking about it. I consider myself the watchman, and when people don't know about him, and I don't share with them what I know, their blood is on my hands. But if I do, and they decide not to follow him, or the blood is on their own hands. And it really shows me that I need to go out there. I don't care how scared I am. I was scared to come up here, but you have to, God tells you to go, and we must go. And that's basically what I learned.
Thank you, Ashley. It is a warning sign to go. As Andrew woke me from my catatonic sleep this morning from Falls Creek weariness, he was calling me worried about the Middle East conflict with Israel and all these things. And he was just kind of afraid about that, wondering what's going to happen. This could be it. God could be coming soon, because all things point to the Bible says, watch the fig tree, which is Israel, and the things that are happening. And to someone that's learning the Bible or reading the Bible, it can be quite scary, thinking, wow, what if he comes? And then I said, Andrew, don't worry, you're going to heaven. if he comes, you're ready. The Bible says, you know, when I come, don't shrink back. It isn't like you're ashamed. Be prepared as if I'm coming. And like Ashley, the scripture spoke in Ezekiel about the watchman. It is our duty to have God push someone in our path to speak with him. Because if we just ignore them, you know, to see, as you're walking down toward that aisle to meet the master and ready to cast your crown, as we talked about earlier before, you're going to look over to your right or left and see the people that's not going to be able to do that. Perhaps the people that God has put in your path for that. And they're going to be looking at you saying, why? Why didn't you tell me? So Andrew thought about it, and he called me back later. He told me this morning, he said, you know, Eric, I thought about it. He said, you're right, it is kind of cool that, you know, if God does come back real soon, it'd be like we have Falls Creek every day. It'll be just fun. So okay. Right now, real quick, I'd like for Tubbs and Sarah to come up to sing you a little special that they've been working on. It's really cool. And Tubbs is multi-talented. Sarah has a beautiful voice. So here's a message for you to them.
I kind of have a little testimony that goes along with our song. Thursday, we sang three songs for praise and worship in our cabin, and we practiced during the day, and then after practice, me and Tubbs were just, you know, sitting around. He was playing the guitar, and we just got a Ground Zero songbook, and we were just singing through the songs, and it was just us for a little bit, for about 30 minutes or so, and then Anna and Jonathan came over, and we were sitting, we were singing, and then another girl named Jenny came over, and she sat down with us, and she sang for a little bit, and then her and Anna got up and went and talked, and then they came back, and I'm getting a little nervous, and then after, later that night, I found a little note in my mailbox that from Jenny that was thanking me and Tubbs and for like singing and the fellowship that we had, and she just said, you know, thank you so much for that, and it was beautiful music, and you had a beautiful voice, because I don't get that from my church. She says, we don't do that kind of stuff. We don't sit around and we don't sing, and I don't get that kind of worship, and I don't get that kind of fellowship with the other people from my church. And that just blessed my heart so much, because I felt like God has given me a talent. He's given Tubbs a talent. He's given Haley and Ashley, and he's given us so many things, and I really feel like I'm finding mine. And for me to know what it is that God has given me, and for me to use it and to bless someone else with what I had, because I never thought that I'd be able to stand up and, you know, preach to people like that. I don't think that's my calling, but for me to use the gift that God gave me and for it to make an impact on someone else and to make them, you know, happier person and maybe look at God differently, then that, it just really blessed me to see her, you know, using my gift and Tubbs' gift for her, for herself. So we are going to sing Breathe, and I really feel like this song is really important for everybody, because the air that we breathe, that's God, and that's His Holy Spirit all the time. And then our daily bread, that's His Word. And if you don't eat His daily bread, and if you don't get His daily bread, then you're just going to stay in the same spot. And what's the point of saying you're a Christ follower if you're not going anywhere, if you're not following Him, if you're just standing in one spot? So we're going to sing this song.
This is the air I breathe.
Someone else like to speak?
I was just going to talk about what I've learned this week. And I've learned a lot, but I've learned like three main things that I try to focus on. And the first one is I learned to be strong, because I had a lot of difficult situations that was there with me, that followed me there. But I just forget it all. And then whenever I worshiped, I was just like, I never thought about any of it. And I just kept my focus on God. And I learned that I could be strong and nothing is going to hold me back. The second thing is I learned to focus less. Like during the message, I usually just gaze off and look at the stars, look at the trees, oh, it's so pretty. And it was so hot, and so everybody's always fanning themselves and always wiping the sweat off. I had like towels because I was like wiping all the sweat. It was gross. Then I was just like, this is so distracting. So I just set my fan down, set my towel down, and I just sat back and I listened. And then, like, you get so used to it. Like, if you fan yourself, you're still, like, hot always if you put your fan down. But whenever you're just sitting there, you get used to the heat. So then I could focus because the heat wasn't affecting me anymore. Of course, I was still dripping, but it didn't matter. Everybody was sweating, so. And then the third thing I learned is I found I have courage. On Friday, well, the whole last week, I was praying that I knew I needed to make a decision in my life because I just needed to start fresh again. And Friday night, I found the courage to finally go in front of like over 500 people, and I decided to rededicate my life. And I was just glad because every night Haley helped me, prayed with me, and we'd always fill out a card. Like, everybody fills out a card if you go make a decision. And all the people who work at Falls Creek, they would go give them to your cabin and give them to your youth minister. And every night Josh would read out every name that night, and there was like, there was a lot each night because there were like 32 of us in the whole cabin the whole week. And so Josh would recognize us. He didn't tell us, like, he didn't tell everybody what their decision was. If we wanted to, we could, but we didn't have to. But he just let everybody, like, recognize who had made a decision each night. And I thought that was awesome that he just let everybody know what was going on. And I'm glad to say that I was one of the 32 people. That's it.
It does take courage to go down in front of a lot of people, because I think a lot of times, a lot of churches make it almost too easy to accept Christ. They have everybody shut their eyes, and they have everybody just hunker down, and then they ask, who wants to be saved? And they'll lift your hand. No one look around now. Don't look at them. Don't watch them say, don't watch them raise their hand. Okay, no one's going to raise their hand. How about someone nod their head? And they look out there, no one's nodding their head. Okay, how about if you want to be saved, raise your pinky? You know, and they make it so simple, but you forget that the Bible says, confess the Lord Jesus with your mouth, thou shalt be saved. And when you stand up and take a stand and say, I have the Lord Jesus Christ in my life and I'm proud of it, it renders the enemy helpless. Salvation comes because you've taken a stand for Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, if you're afraid of me, then to say that you're one of mine, then I'll be afraid to tell the Father that you're one of mine in heaven. Stand up for what you believe in. Confess with the Lord Jesus Christ. Those of you that have asked Christ in your mouth by just mouthing a prayer that someone had asked you to say, that's nice, that's a start. But until you say, Jesus, I'm a sinner, I'm sorry, come into my life, then it makes it all the worthwhile. That's confessing with your Lord. That's the confessing the Lord Jesus with your mouth. Say it, say it, say it. Someone else. Make it. Come on up.
Okay. This is my first year to go to Falls Creek, and I expected to find something, because in my heart I prayed that I want to grow with God. I want to find something, and He has taught me how to really worship and find His word, and that you can help other people. I really listened to Him, and He showed me Friday night that I needed to stand up and tell what was on my heart, because He put something on my heart that was great. And so I shared that I can be strong, and whenever I told like my testimony to everybody, there's this one girl, after I said it, she came over to me and gave me the biggest hug and passionist hug like I've ever felt in my life, and that she needed me to be there and say what was on my heart, because she knew in her heart that there was someone there that felt the same way. And it was wonderful for me to say what was on my heart and that she felt it too. And I told her that no matter what, I didn't even know her, but now I feel like I have a sister in Christ and that I will be with her. And after the bus ride home and we're about to go our separate ways, she ran up to me and hugged me and said that I know that you're going to be in my life and you're going to help me through whatever decision I made or what I'm going to make, but you're going to be there with me, and I know I have a strong friend to go to because God has told me that you're there for me, and that so we are going to share our numbers and talk to each other tonight. And I just feel like God has shown me that I can be strong and help other people, and that's what I need to do. And that's it.
That's all it is. Just taking a good look at Jesus, telling others what you've seen. He'll send them to you every time. Andrew.
Oh, we've got your backflip going.
Yeah.
Well, the theme of this week, Falls Creek, was called Spin. And where they get that from is the verse Isaiah 64:8, which is, O Lord, our Father, we are the clay, you are the potter, and we are all the work of your hands. And what it basically talked about was trying to get us, we're trying to get like malleable, that way God can just shape us who He wants to be. And every morning service, they'd have your speaker right here, and they'd have two pottery tables. And they would just be sitting there making something. Most of my attention went there, and I heard somewhat of what they said. And they said that they use tools to, you know, carve on the clay, and they turn that into that God can use those tools to just carve the evilness out of your life and stuff like that. And I tell you what, I just saw Jesus in a whole different way in worship. And our speaker this week, he was Egyptian, his name was Alex, and he was ADD, so me and him got along just fine. And for some reason, I've been there for this is my third year there, and for some reason the 2 years I didn't really pay attention, but this one I just really focused in on him because I could just understand everything. He made everything so crystal clear. And he had this one message one night that he put Jesus, we turned the whole place into like a court, and we put Jesus on the stand, and we would have people come up and say, who is Jesus, you know, right before he was crucified, and they would just go on through the whole everything, you know. Some say he's the son of God and stuff. And that night later on, we sung this song in our in our devotion. It's called You Are Holy, and it just goes and leads into that, naming a lot of names that Jesus is. And Marco pointed out that, hey, you know, these are what things that people said back then, what Jesus is. And I just felt this jolt through me. I'm like, wow. You know, it was just totally amazing.
All right, someone else?
Oh,
Okay, hey. I'm Anna, and I'm nervous. Okay, let's start. First, I'd like to share with... My favorite verse. Okay. So, what a blessing when God steps in and corrects you. Mind you, don't despise the discipline of Almighty God. True, He wounds, but He also dresses the wound. The same hand that hurts you heals you. From one disaster after another, He delivers you. No matter what the calamity, the evil can't touch you. So what I got from that verse is when you think that God betrays you and, you know, just kind of left you out in the cold, just kind of rethink your life. When I get that way, I go back to that verse and I think, okay, you know, God's doing this to me because He's trying to rebuild me, make me stronger. And, my heart's beating. Okay, one day at lunch, I had finished my lunch, and then I saw Eric and Adam sitting over at a table, and I thought, hey, I'll go have a little chat. And so, of course, 5 minutes later, there's this big, huge sob fest, and, Adam started saying to me, okay, what if one day I came up to you and said, man, my life just sucks. You know, God's just, where is He? And I said, well, okay, you know, God tears you down to build you back up. And he said, so what if God keeps tearing me down if nothing else happens? When's He going to build me back up? And I said, He will when you let Him. And I was like, dang, did I just say that? I mean, where did that come from? And, yeah. And that little conversation slash sob fest kind of relates to the theme verse of the week, which was Isaiah 64:8. And it was saying, okay, you're the clay and God is a potter. And, you know, you're just the clay. And God's, you know, molding you and tearing you up and making you all clay-like. And then He's going to build you up and into this, you know, beautiful little pot. And then, so like, I just bit my tongue, sorry, that really hurt. So, you know, don't ever think that God just kind of, you know, forgot about you, because, like you said, He's tearing you down to build you back up. And, you know, He's just, every day He's working your life, so, yeah. That's about it.
Right. This is kind of about what Anna said, when God's making you all clay-like, or whatever. And sometimes, this Larissa, I don't know if you guys, any of you guys all should know her, but Larissa, before she left, she told me that you have to, like, sometimes just break totally down, and just break, and then God will mold you back, but you'll have little cracks. And that means God's light can shine through you to everybody else. But my testimony of this week is, it was just really, really, really awesome. Hundreds and hundreds of kids every single night would go down to rededicate their lives to Christ or to give their lives to Christ, and it just made me so happy inside. And there was a guy in my family group named Charlie, and when the first day that we met on Monday, Monday I think it was, he said, so if you give your life to Christ, does that mean you can't get wasted? And my family, my dad was like, yeah, pretty much. And he goes, oh, man. But the next night, or that night, or wait, like, that week, he gave his life to Christ. And, you know, during praise and worship, he was raising his hands. You know, it was just amazing. And there was another kid named Faison who rededicated his life to Christ. And he was just such a big inspiration to me, just to see him. Like, he didn't care what anybody else thought. It was just him and God. And it was just amazing to me. And I have a hard time witnessing to people because I'm like, oh, are they going to think I'm stupid? I don't know. But this week, I was like, we talked about what happened when Jesus went down to get hung on the cross. And he went through a horrible beating for us. And you know, and I was like, well, I sin all the time, and, you know, I do, and I know I am, but it's like, it's fun at the time, but, you know, sin only lasts so long. And but if you have fun through Jesus, it's going to last eternity, and, you know, you're just going to have a great time. But I've learned, like, that Jesus did all this for us, but I can't simply go out and, you know, tell people about Jesus, you know, let Jesus' light shine through me. So that is my personal goal, is to, everywhere I go, to have Jesus shine through me.
It's really, it really is good when you can see the power of God working among a bunch of Baptists raising their hands. You know God's working then, because it's really good. Because, you know, the first night we get there, one or two of us from our group are raising our hands, and I'm sure the kids are kind of looking at it, okay, who are these people? And then before, you know, Wednesday and Thursday, as it week progressed, more and more people just started raising their hands to God, because, you know, not saying that that's the only way to worship, or the best way to worship, but I'm just saying it's just when you feel God that much, that power through you, you know, that's just a sign of surrender. It's not just a sign saying, hey, look at me, I'm worshiping, isn't that cool? But it's a sign of surrender to God, and a sign of reaching out to Him, and it's just really neat seeing all these kids, like Ashley said, that just come from various backgrounds, and just before the week was over, they were praising God and really, really worshiping for who He is. Someone else. Larry, come on up.
Okay. As you all know, I brought a friend named Danielle. I call her Judy, but she's Danielle. And it was really powerful to me because she grew away from Christ, and I wanted to bring her with me so she could come back. Well, she, like the first day or the second day, we were in bed because they had an extra praise after we got done with our service in the cabin. And we would go back to bed, start packing or getting ready. And we were laying in our bed, and she said, "Lan, what time did your church start?" I'm like, "What? Why?" She said, "I think I'm going to try to start going to your church." I was so proud. I was like, okay. It was nice because I saw one of my best friends grow. And usually you'd be distracted because she's just like so far away. It's weird to have one real Christian friend and then not so good Christian friend. I don't know. But I got to see my friend grow. That was my powerful thing for the week.
This was Lauren's first year. She was a seventh grader, so now an eighth grader. So it was really cool for me to see both my daughters as well as my wife there at Falls Creek. Really cool. Someone else. Adam.
I found my new best friend this weekend, sandals, so I wore them today, and it's casual, and I was glad to hear, I wasn't here last week, but glad to hear that Jack wore them also, so that made me feel better. I was just trying to write down my thoughts, and everything these kids said was powerful. Big things can happen every day, and big things can happen whether you go to an event or just come on Wednesday night or Sunday morning. Big things can happen everywhere. You have the power to change lives and to change your family. You have the ability to bring your friends back to Christ. You have gifts that you share. Just everything I share. You know, the sob fest Anna talked about was probably Eric and I crying and not her or something. But it was amazing how many times this week that we cried over these teens and just of absolute joy. And I said, you know, we stand on the sidelines pretty much. And I mean, I like to say that God works in Eric and I to work in the teens, but we were standing in the sidelines, and Laren, what you said was, you went up afterwards and we're talking, you went up afterwards and you prayed, and different ones of you prayed with different people. Those were all the little things that were so significant, though. And there were things that happened that we don't get a little card on that says, hey, I went and prayed with my friend upstairs. We stood on the sidelines and just watched amazing things happen in their lives. And we watched each other lift each other up. And obviously somebody has to bring them along, but And they were bringing themselves along, and I was so proud of them. There was one evening, it was very hot, but one evening in particular, one by one, here came our young ladies. And let me tell you, we have the most beautiful young ladies I've ever seen in my life. All came down dressed very nice, and it was wonderful. And I don't know who said they stood apart, but they stood apart from the rest of the people in that cabin, and they stood apart from the people down there. And we're so proud of our young ladies and how they looked, acted, and behaved. It was just impressive. We had Mary Walker. Mary, just raise your hand there. Wave it there. Mary Walker, who many of you guys know. Mary went 2 years ago, and Mary came back as a sponsor, and that was wonderful to see the things that God had used her for as I listened with my big ears as they were at the other tables. That was one of the best things I do, is sit at a table behind someone and listen to what's going on, eavesdropping. And it was wonderful to hear conversations going on, and then sometimes it's like, I need to get out of here. So I did. But to stand back, I know for Eric and I and Kisha also, going down as sponsors, and Mary, going down as sponsors and standing back and watching what God is doing in the lives of all teens. But of course, we have a little corner of our heart that's special to Ground Zero teens and our group of teens, and it was wonderful. The guys alike and the women. And really, my testimony is how powerful a group we have that they're helping each other and they're helping themselves. One thing Megan said the other night, she looked at me and she was crying and she said, "He was waiting on me." I thought, uh-oh, does Spencer know? This could be an icy date. I said, "Who's waiting on?" She said, "God's been waiting on me." And so it was wonderful to hear God speaking in the lives of our teenagers. And as Andrew said, "Hey, I listened this time." And them listening and affecting other people and changing lives. And really my testimony is, you know, we get to stand back and watch this and enjoy it. And we were so proud. I said, it's like being, you know, proud parents of kids and just so full of pride over what God was doing in them. But a major impact. And I think our kids have brought that back and brought it back each year and just grown on that year by year. And it's amazing each year to see the growth they have one year after another. Here's where they were 2 years ago. Hey, last year. And I don't know if you guys noticed, some of you guys may have given Eric money for Falls Creek that was extra. But you guys, if you've been here the last couple of years, we've asked for donations for Acquire the Fire and for Falls Creek. And we always appreciate those without asking. But we didn't ask for that this year. Many of these teens have jobs and they paid their own way. Many of these teens went and did fundraising at Jana's work. And they got their own money, and we didn't have to come asking for money. And to me, that's growth. When they're trying to pay their own way, and we're trying to teach them to be self-sufficient and take care of their needs. And they've done that, and they've done it very well. And we're proud of them. Really, all I have to say is how proud I am of each and every one of you. For those that weren't able to go, we're proud of you also. But down there this week, we saw amazing things, and God do amazing things in everyone's lives. And we love you guys. Thank you.
And just, Dubs, did you want to talk?
No, sir.
Get on down here. This is your first time down here.
Got too much walking this week. All right. Hopefully that song went too bad. I don't play guitar too often. Thanks, Todd. They were talking at one of the morning services about how the clay has everything in it that it needs for life already. And it just needs to be broken down and molded and get rid of all the air bubbles and everything, and it can grow. One thing that we really got to do this week was watch people break down. And a good friend of mine that I never thought would do anything, I got to sit there and watch every night break down. Mr. Jonathan. I didn't know that kid had a heart at times. He broke down in ways that I never thought I'd ever see him. And, you know, it was amazing. There were some new kids there from Rancho that didn't exactly know how special David is to us, how protective we are for Dave. Right, Dave? Yeah, man. And they found out pretty quickly. but we got to watch them break down, and eventually they were trying to have intellectual conversations with David, and they treated him like they would Adam or a sponsor or anybody, right, man? We're all grounded. But it was just amazing to see some of the people that broke down up there. And a girl came up to Jonathan and I as we were walking back from Tabernacle, and she had a shirt on that said, "I am, are you?" And she said, "Are you guys saved?" We said, "Yeah." She said, "No, we are." And she said, "What does it mean to you?" And Jonathan looks at me and he's like, "Tell her." I was like, "Okay." So we said what it meant to us. And then she said, "Well, do you want to sign the back of my shirt?" And it was a way of breaking down in your own. Because like earlier in the week they'd asked for you to raise your hand if you knew you were going to heaven and you had it settled. I didn't at first. Well, after that it was a way for me to know and feel right about it. And then they asked it again Friday night, I think it was. And I was able to raise my hand on it because I knew. I've done all I can, and I still do all I can. It's just how it is.
As our band comes back up to close today, I just want to just say and ask you three questions about the pottery. One, are you someone God can work with? Two, are you centered on the potter's wheel? You know, we watched this example down there of a guy that's an expert potter stick it on the wheel, slam the clay on the wheel, but it wasn't in the center. And it spun, and as soon as he put his hands to it, pieces of it started flying everywhere off the handle. And so that's the same way. Many people come to Christ and want to love Him and believe in Him, but as soon as God wants to touch their life, they're not centered on Christ, and they start to spin apart. And the last one is, are you shapeable? The elasticity, how far are you able to be shaped as a pot before you break? Or are you willing to give into the Master's hands? Are you willing to be a vessel, as it talks about in the Bible, to be poured out to satisfy someone who's thirsty, who needs Christ? Or are you just someone that God sticks a plastic plant in for decoration? So our counselors come up today. We have up here able for you to minister to. If God's working in your life and you'd like to be able to be ministered to or need special prayer, we'd like for that to happen. And as we close out today, I would just like you to think about how God wraps His arms around you to shape you into what He wants to be.